I sometimes hold it half a sin to put in words the grief I feel. For words, like nature, half reveal and half conceal the soul within. The words are Alfred Lord Tennyson's. The thoughts are universal. How to express grief. How to deal with death.
With each death of somebody I loved, I lost a little part of me. And nothing or nobody can ever return it.
I just know personally inside how dearly I loved him. And even today on my way home, I was coming in from out of town. I stopped at the cemetery. I do that, I don't know, maybe every other month.
I'm Marilyn Markle. I'm also here grieving my son, Stephen, who passed away May 30th last year from leukemia after a bone marrow transplant, which lasted 4 months.
Almost 2 years ago, we lost a 3.5-year-old son, Stevie, to leukemia.
This is a group therapy session in a Detroit suburb. They are trying to help each other learn to cope with the loss of loved ones.
And I'm Harriet Schiff. My son died at the age of 10, and this was back in 1968, when there weren't people that came together like this.
Harriet Schiff is now the author of 2 books on counseling for the bereaved. She is the leader of this group, and through her writings and speeches, has seen this new form of therapy spread across the country.
And one of the main things that we've been trying to do in these groups is to reassure each other that if the feelings are normal, but that they're unrealistic. There's nobody in this room that could have done
more. We have an actual structured program. We know that in the first meeting we will discuss getting to know one another and what we're about. We discuss denial at another meeting, anger, guilt, the funeral, powerlessness, religion, how we feel about God. Very intense topic.
You know, it took me a long time to differentiate between powerlessness and guilt. I thought I was feeling guilt over the failure. And it was really, I've seen after putting some distance, it was powerlessness.
These crazy feelings that we go through, you go through denial, you go through guilt, you go through powerlessness.
Dr. Jerry Weinberg is called a facilitator. He went through the bereavement therapy several years ago and now tries to help others deal with their grief.
But sometimes I think those of us that are working with this group in some way are using that terrible experience of our loved one's death to try to help other people. So in that sense...
But sometimes it takes an awful lot of years before you believe it and before you even know the purpose.
I'm Estelle Kleiman, and I'm here because of my mother-in-law, Fanny Kleiman. She was 77, and my son, Dr. Michael Kleiman, he was 27. They were both killed in an automobile accident, and that's why I joined the group, and it's just been horrible.
The further away you get from the death, we're further down the road, and we can look back and say, you know what, in X amount of time, you're going to be okay. This is a difficult process. We made it through, and you're going to make it through.
And honest to God, I don't feel any better. I feel we've lost our future. I have one surviving child left. But Michael was, I guess, he just meant so much to us.
He was your son.
You know, generally people who come to groups, generally, are healthy people. They're people who have had a terrible experience and are hurting, but emotionally they're sound. And these are the people that we try very hard to reach.
Easy! You don't want her to go through the wall.
Easy. Mark and Cindy Candell lost their son Steve almost 2 years ago. They have 2 other children, Steve's little sister, Alexis, and another girl, Shayna, born a few weeks ago.
After having lost Stevie, the first 3 months when I had to come to terms with the fact that I was pregnant, whenever the thought would enter my mind that I'm pregnant, the next thought would be, Stevie's dead. And for 3 months, I just cried.
The pregnancy was very difficult. And it was hard for me
to deal with Cindy and also to deal with some problems that I have, particularly worrying about, are we going to have another child that may have this rare form of leukemia?
You have all this pain. The friends and the relatives have faded back into the woodwork, and you're alone. And you have nowhere to express it. And the support group gives you the sense that A, you're not alone, and B, it's an open forum to discuss all the feelings and all the pain.
Harriet Schiff started the support group concept at Temple Israel 4 years ago. Since then, scores of people have experienced the comfort of group discussion dealing with death.
November begins the holiday season for most people. We find a need in our support groups for coming together now, almost more than at any other time. All of the people in our groups have empty chairs in their homes and empty places in their hearts.
I wish she could have held on longer, but that was not anything. I couldn't do anything about it, but I did learn a lot.
Each group meets every other week for about 4 months. This group holds its sessions at Temple Israel in West Bloomfield, Michigan. Some people return for another series of sessions. Others go on to become facilitators.
I mean, we've all done, when my brother had a brain tumor, I was 21, I was in med school, my reaction was when he died, I was going to be a neurosurgeon.
But Jerry Weinberg eventually changed his mind and became a specialist in obstetrics and gynecology at Mount Sinai Hospital in Detroit.
It's an extremely intense, satisfying experience for me. And even though I deliver babies and do a lot of things that are very fulfilling, this is still one of the most fulfilling things I do.
But you're doing something about it, and that's how you regain your power.
I get from day to day. I mean, I can't say that my life isn't progressing. I still have this
thing.
That eases up. Although you can still work and function, it's just that when you come home at night, you feel lousy instead of being lousy all during the day.
Right.
So you compartmentalize it.
They're not only being helped by those of us who have had a little more experience with groups. They're helping each other, just like any encounter group. You can see a woman whose husband died a month ago consoling someone whose baby died 3 months ago. And those people are working together like that.
It's the sense of anger and rage. How could this be happening?
Today.
Every day.
I think to myself, maybe, why did he have to be so good? He was on call the night before. He had been up all night. Why did he have to pick up my mother-in-law and take her out for lunch? And I started to say to myself, why didn't I pick her up? I mean, just, you get all these questions but no answers.
Just about all parents here, when anything happens to our kids, right away it's, what did we do wrong? The kid got sick, I forgot to give him a jacket to wear, this or that.
Right.
And this.
I like these people. I mean, I really feel that we help each other. We're able to talk about it. I mean, how long can you talk to your family and your friends about this? After a while, they do get tired of listening.
My son was my best friend.
Seymour Clayman usually attends the therapy sessions with his wife, Estelle.
If you haven't been there, you don't understand. And by getting these people together and by getting them to speak freely and say what really is on their mind, you feel that it doesn't bolster you, but at least you know that you're not alone.
Is that you still keep the memories, the good and the bad. You still keep them, and you can have them without feeling the torment too. And the memories are still there. They're still as good. Have a nice nap.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
It's hard because there are moments she looks very much like her brother did as an infant. And you just sit back and you say, but there should be a 5.5-year-old here running around too.
You can't forget.
Absolutely not. I wouldn't forget.